I finished a little early. My grandfather always told me, preach the word. But when you're done, sit down. Don't preach it all again. I'm done. I'm going to sit down.
The return of Jesus, we hear from people that there are so many things that are going to take place, like triple six, whereby Christians are not going to buy or say anything except if they have the mark. But is that included in what you were talking about?
I'm very glad you asked that question. It's a very good question. And there's lots of confusion about that. The mark is found in Revelation
13.
And that refers to persecutions of Christians. Remember what we talked about in the book of Revelation last night. Whatever's going on in Revelation had to happen soon, remember? Over and over again, the book says, shortly come to pass, the time is at hand. I think the Revelation 13 mark happened in the first century to those Christians. It's not something that's going to happen. It is a mistake to take Revelation written for first century Christians and pry it, take 2,000 years and make it for today. Remember, we talked about how to encourage those Christians in a time of persecution. So here are these Christians, and Brother Antipas was persecuted and murdered. John says, I'll write them something that will encourage them. In 2,000 years, people will have a computer chip put in their wrist. How does that encourage anybody in the first century? I need some encouragement now, not 2,000 years. Those basic principles, it has to happen in that time, the first century. And it had to encourage those brethren in their time of need. Those principles exclude any of these fanciful interpretations about things today. It's a very good question. In fact, someone else asked me that question. But I think of those principles like a gate. someone comes and says, oh, Revelation says this and this is going to happen. The first gate it has to go through is shortly come to pass. And the second gate it has to go through is that it encourages first century Christians who are persecuted. So someone says, the book of Revelation is about World War II and Nazi Germany. The Nazis were terribly evil. Does that fit? There's lots of evil in the book of Revelation. I have read that 666 is the swastika.
And
then I found that
666
lots of people taught that during the war. Does that get through the first gate? Is that shortly come to pass? 1945 years isn't shortly.
No, maybe
it can't get through the first gate. What about the second gate? Does it encourage the Christian to know that
1900
years later Adolf Hitler's going to kill a bunch of people?
Yeah,
doesn't get through either gate? I don't believe it. That's not what Revelation says. On television and the radio in America, these Pentecostal preachers say everything from the book of Revelation. Whatever happens on the news, they're in the middle of the book of Revelation. Oh, look here! It doesn't go through the gate. It doesn't work
there, Ms. Louise.
Let the book of Revelation be what it's supposed to be for the people who originally received it. It is designed to encourage Christians to be faithful to the Lord. That's what it's about. It is not designed to give a roadmap of future events that are going to happen in our
life.
Does that answer your question?
That's what it's not. What does it do?
She's asking the question, not Brother Paul.
That's what I heard her say.
Let me say this. We've been taught that Revelation is about our time and Israel and computers, and it is hard to let go of that.
First one to see what probably is my example of my Lana, and then what is right, and then my computer, who's the one that people can go
to me. We just hear that over and over again.
Let us see it.
It's what all your religious neighbors believe. But if you read it and start watching for shortly, and it's going to happen soon, you start watching for all the passages that encourage faithfulness, and endurance, you will start to see what Revelation
is about.
Yes.
Yeah.
Other questions?
But I just want to know more about this point of the earth being just destroyed. I want to know about nature, since Jesus is going to come and collect his church. Now, what about the names I'm talking about, animals and down. We remember in the time of Noah, Noah was asked to take two each of the animals and set them for three. He let them go in. What would happen to them in their time?
I'm afraid your question is going to get me into trouble.
Yeah, so he was up with the public meeting.
Because I love my dog.
And can't get his dog.
And if you tell somebody their dog isn't going to go to heaven, people get mad at you.
Come on, let's look at his dog.
I don't like cats at all. And I told the lady her cat wasn't going to heaven, and she got real mad. But I like your question. First, let me say this. There is a difference between Noah's flood and the final end. Because Noah, it wasn't over. God wanted the animals on the ark. Because he wanted them to go off the ark and repopulate the earth. So God had Noah take animals on board. Don't you wish Noah had spotted the skeeters? No more skeeters. But the Lord needed the animals and even the mosquitoes from his population. When the Lord comes again, there's not going to be anything being repopulated. Everything will be destroyed. As much as we love our pets.
Now, at the time, you're going to say,
the Bible doesn't teach that animals have a living soul. You and I, we are made in the image of God. That's one of the ways that we are different from animals. So the animals will pass away. Animals are here to serve us. And for our good, we eat them. They're delicious. But we will not eat food in heaven. We will not eat
animals.
So that's a great question.
Ah, I'm going to I want to ask about the person who is doing the will of God, but is not baptized. Does that person have any chance of seeing the kingdom of God?
The person has a great chance of seeing the kingdom of God.
No one can necessarily pay it to what we don't want to go for the Lord.
I want to be very clear about my answer. I do not want to give any comfort to the idea that a person can be saved without being baptized. Because we understand what the Bible teaches about baptism being essential to salvation. That's Acts 2:38.
Acts 2:38, 1 Peter 3:21,
many others. But if a person wants to do the will of God, God will help them. Sometimes we forget about that. That's God's job. He's very good at it. Think about Saul of Tarsus. He was persecuting the church.
Why isn't anybody?
That's terrible and awful.
Hey, no, sure.
But he thought he was doing right. Saul wanted to do right. What happened next? Jesus appeared to Saul and said, I know you want to do right, but you need to make a U-turn.
Now
think about what happened next with Saul. He turned around. He made the U-turn.
Wow. ashika ngempela.
See, that's how we can tell that he really wanted to do the will of God.
Yona ndlela singakwazi ukusho ngayo lokuthi wayefuna ukwenza intando kaNkulunkulu.
Sometimes people say they want to do the will of God, but when you show them God's will,
abantu bathanda ukwenza intando kaNkulunkulu kodwa mase bakukhombisa intando kaNkulunkulu.
Here's the will of God. You need to do that.
Intando kaNkulunkulu ukuthi baba days.
What do they do?
Benza njalo.
They get mad.
Hey, ubaye.
They get stubborn.
Manje sucaba ngothi
my mother wasn't baptized.
Uma wami akazange aphaphathise.
My preacher says you don't have to be baptized.
Umshumayela umuntu futhi akufanele ukubaphathise.
I'm not going to be baptized.
Nami ngamse ukubaphathise.
Now you tell me, do they really want to do the will of God?
Bese yamdena ngoba bafuna ukwenza intando kaNkulunkulu abantu.
No, they want to do what they want to do.
Bafuna ukwenza abathandayo.
They want to stay right where they are.
Bafuna ukuhlala lapho bekho.
But sometimes we meet someone.
Bese sizokuzothatha samdinga umunye umuntu.
We open the Bible with them.
Uzovula iBhayibheli kanye nathi.
We go and see what the Bible says.
Simsize abone iBhayibheli ukuthi lithini.
You need to be baptized for the remission of your sins.
Wena ufuna ukubhabhathizwa uzokuhlambulula izono zakho.
Tears flow down your face.
Bese zehle inyembezi emehlweni.
I am a sinner, I need forgiveness of God.
Bese umuntu yazi ngisoni ngiyethelelwa kaNkulunkulu.
What does that person do?
Wenza nje umuntu emzweni kwalokho.
That person is like that.
Ube umuntu lo vela babathini.
Why? Because they want to do the will of God. God gets the people who want to do his will.
Abantu abafuna ukwenza intando yakhe.
Around his will.
La endandeni yakhe pho.
So that they can hear it.
Ukuze ukuthi bakubukayi.
So they can understand it.
Bayiqonde.
So they can do the will of God.
Baze bakwazi ukwenza intando kaNkulunkulu.
And God's so good at doing that.
Hey, umuntu uNkulunkulu kuyenze lona.
In Acts chapter 8.
Buze endeni 8.
There was an Ethiopian man riding a chariot in the middle of nowhere.
Eh bangukona umuntu lapha na owayehamba ngenqola yakhe umthelo waseEthiopia.
He wanted to do the will of God.
Ayifuna ukwenza intando kaNkulunkulu.
He was reading the Bible but he didn't understand it.
Fundi Bible but akondlutho.
Look right there.
Oh lapha.
There was a preacher standing.
Ah umshumayeli yami umnje emgaqweni.
How did the preacher get there?
Ubeka kanjani umshumayeli lapha?
God sent Philip.
uNkulunkulu wamthumela
ukuthi you stand on the road
uyomalapha emgaqweni futhi udlula le ndoda ona imali
you came to Ethiopian man
nah long turn out Ethiopia uyeza bathu nepapashizini
when people want to do the will of God
uma abantu befuna ukwenza intando kaNkulunkulu
God will help them do the will of God
bazobasiza bayenze intando yabo
isn't that wonderful
yeah yeah ihle ndoda bakhe
God helps those
uyabasiza labo
who wants to serve
ona umkhono.
A friend of mine says, we are just looking for them
kubukabo singabona
who are looking for him
labo abafuna yena.
Amen.
Yeah,
one great question.
Ha, wathu zethombaza. Hey, God. Yeah. This man is polygamy, and you go and you preach the gospel to him, and together with his two wives, or more than two wives, then they repent, and he's baptized and saved. Now, what's going to happen to that? Because we know that the Bible says you don't have to have two wives, and also the Bible says you don't need to divorce. God hates divorce. What to do in that
I think the first thing I would say is you shouldn't get too wise.
A lot of times we can do that. Well, I want to let my mom have a chance to let me know.
I don't mean to make wise. It's a real dilemma for some people. In my country, we do not have a lot of polygamy. But we have people who are unscripturally married. The woman
has been married before and she did not get a divorce for scriptural reasons. Then she gets married again, she has no right to do that. Now they want to obey the gospel and they're living in sin. It is very hard. Now what do you say to that? Let me say this. We have to repent to be right with the Lord. We cannot live in sin. That goes for every situation, not just marriage. And sometimes we tell very sad stories because repentance is hard, like in breaking up a marriage and they have children and it's difficult. That tears in our hearts. But it's not about our emotions, it's about what the Bible says. Anybody can tell emotional stories. Here's a woman who's a prostitute. I don't have any other way to make a living. My children are going to starve. Can she remain a prostitute after she's been baptized? God forbid. She must repent. She has find a new way to work. Here's a man who is a killer for the mafia. He's a hitman. He says, that's my job. The only thing I know. So we baptize him and then he can go on being a murderer. God forbid, he must repent. There's two homosexuals. They get married. In my country now, there's lots about marrying homosexuals. So they want to obey the gospel. And so they want to baptize them and they can continue in homosexuality. Listen to me, brethren. If we baptize people and let them live in adultery, if we baptize people and let them live in polygamy, the homosexual is going to want to stay in their homosexual too. Whatever break the adulterers and the polygamists got, they're going to want that break too. Hey, look at this couple. They're living in adultery. You didn't make them stop. Why do us homosexuals have to stop? Here's this man with three wives. He gets to keep them. Why can't I keep my husband? Don't think it won't happen. In my country, the homosexuals have been in the courts to get the right to be married. And now there are lawsuits to overturn the laws against polygamy. The polygamists have said, if a homosexual can get married, why can't we do this? It will follow as night follows day. When we open the door a little bit, the devil kicks it away. Now let me say a word or two about polygamy. I do believe that polygamy is wrong. I believe the New Testament teaches that a man is to have one wife and a wife is to have one husband. That's the teaching of 1 Corinthians 7. But I want you also to think about Ephesians 5. That's the famous passage about wives submitting to their husbands and husbands loving their wives. But you remember what Paul parallels marriage to. Marriage is like Christ's love for the church. Ask yourself, how many wives does Christ have? Is Christ married to many churches? Christ is married to one bride, his church. At the end of Ephesians 5, Paul quotes from Genesis chapter 2. A man shall leave father and mother and cleave to his wife. It goes back to the beginning. In the beginning, God created Adam and Eve. Not Adam, Eve, and Mary. One man and one woman. Now, I know there was polygamy along the way. But there were many things that were not everything God wanted it to be. And so Paul says in Acts 17, the times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men to repent. I don't want to be
heartless.
And we have had some difficult situations with adulterous relationships, not polygamy. Man and woman are married and they're in adultery. They cannot remain married. But he needs to take care of his wife and children financially. But they cannot be man and wife anymore. And they cannot live together as man and wife. So a man in polygamy would need to take care of that other wife or wives.
And none of that is a sin.
They need to repent of that. And he needs to have a wife and be husband and wife. One man and one woman. That was a really good question. Brother Paul wants to say something.
I was in Johannesburg.
Then it's a goal.
Simon was my good friend.
Simon,
he had a shop in Soweto.
Then it's all on
his wife worked there. And I like to go out there, and every time I did, I would go by and say hello. Except for the cause of fornication, and marries another,
we are
peace.
Why
is it? But we said, you've got to stop living.
And of course,
it's
provided.
We were gone for a year in 1972. When we came back, Simon said,
"Let's
take it back." And we said, "Well, you know, I feel like a dog that's been let off the chain.
If I don't manage
to
get there, we'll make it up.
I found enough what I was doing.
Elizabeth
is in Venda.
In my house.
She didn't want to get married again or anything. She said, I'm taking care of her. But she's my sister. When I go there, I don't
sleep
with her. She's my sister. And we don't have any idea why. We got two laps out of that. Other questions?
Put on the new ones.
Why then he took her to his home instead of just taking her to hell? Because he is going to take care of her while she is at his house.
Okay, this makes an important point. In that situation, we would want to set things so that there is no doubt that we are doing the right thing.
Because
we want to have influence and be light in the world. If people think there's something monkey business, then see, that enters your mind. So you would know what needs to be done so that people would see your light as a Christian.
We ask the good to know the good to put a band of one who can't go into the
place. Another question.
Hey, wawubuza umbuzo omkhulu kumuntu encane lo
madoda. I got a question.
Umbuzo ke uthi-ke ke uma ke umuntu ke manje obathi uNkulunkulu engayiposti uma ke indoda ihlukumeza unkosikazi wayo, ngabe ku-wrong in my simdivosa na ngoba phela uyahlukumezeka nje la?
This is a very good question. And it's a tough question. We have that trouble in America. A good woman, she marries a bad man. Let me say this to these lovely young ladies who are here today. I'm so impressed with the sisters of the daughters here. They are respectful and listen to me, ladies. Don't get mixed up with a man who lays his hand on you. No real man will ever hit a woman. Don't get with a man who hits you.
Yabona akukho nje ndoda engakwazi ukuthokamisa isandla sikamzali umuntu ungahlobanisi nondayo.
It'll break your heart and make you sad. You may think you can put up with it, he hits you, he will hit your children.
Ungwena ucabanga ukuthi mhlawumbe ungakwazi ukubekezelela kodwa ke uma ekhahlela nengane ekhahlela.
You won't be able to take it when you beat your children. Stay away from intervention. I tell women who are being beaten they need to get away from that man. They need to go stay with a friend. Or they need to go to one of the houses for abused women. They need to protect themselves and their children from this abuse. But this is important too. He needs to stop doing that.
That's
a sin.
It's wrong for this.
And she needs to help him stop sinning. As long as she stays there and lets him hit her, what's he
going to
do? He's going to keep sinning.
He's going to
keep sinning. What do we do as Christians? As Christians, we try to help people quit sinning. She's telling
him,
this has to stop. If you don't stop, I'm going to go away from here.
He'll
probably say,
"Good guy,
well,
never
did
see
that." When he starts up again,
my friend, I'm going to walk, walk. Okay, you want
She needs to get out of there. She needs to get legal protection.
I'll pull me now and put it. I told you, forget it. No, I'm dead.
That'll get his attention.
They'll go back to the mess. What he happens for you?
Now, I'll tell a little story here.
I'm going to talk with that guy now.
Brother Paul told a little story, I'll tell a
little story.
There's a church in Pennsylvania in the United States. And one of the sisters was married to a non-Christian. She came into services, he never came with her.
Why is that? Because
she came into services one day wearing big sunglasses. She wouldn't take them off. They said, "Sister, what is the matter?" They took them off.
She had beat
her. Her face was marking her eyes
with
blood. Her brother said, "Did your husband do this?" She said, "Yes." They said, "He will never do this again." 10 men from the church went to her apartment. They got him and they beat him up. They said, "Don't ever touch our sister again." I think they handled it pretty good. They took care of their sister.
But they don't have their stuff.
If more men would stand up like that, we'd have less abuse in our country. Now let me finish answering your question.
I don't
believe she can divorce him. There's one cause for divorce. And that's he's unfaithful to her. But that doesn't mean she has to stay there and take it. No, get out of there and get the
Lord.
But I don't think that's a cause for divorce. One cause for divorce. And I know that sounds hard. But that reminds us all again. Marriage is very permanent. Choose wisely. When you get married, you give control of your life to someone else. It is not something to be entered into lightly. Choose wisely. Does that answer your question?
Hey, my daughter.
Okay, now I will tell you one more thing. Where I preach on the last Sunday night of the month, we do question and answer
night.
People write down hard questions like these, and they turn them in. You don't even have to sign your name. And on the last Sunday night, I just answer questions. Sometimes I'll answer one or two questions if there are. Sometimes I do four or five questions. People love to ask questions and see what the Bible says. But I'll tell you this. I don't do it live. You have to write it down ahead of time so I can prepare. So when I get home, they're going to ask about the preaching here. And I'm
going
to tell them, we need question and answer night. And they didn't even have to write the questions down. Thank you very much. I love questions and answers.
And I can't do more than
Come and see me and we'll talk, but everybody else needs to break. Brother Joel?
Okay, who Joel? Let's assemble.